Now, Fevzy knows all there is to know about gadgets. So if the technology in your life is not behaving in a way it should be, get in touch and hopefully Fevzy can put you right. Let's start, though, with your gadget of the week. This is a bit clever, though. This is a sleep mat. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's from a company, French company called Withings, and W-I-T-H-I-N-G-S, and they make things like smartwatches, but they and all this sort of wearable tech. But this isn't exactly wearable; it goes under the mattress of your bed, so not under the sheet where it would be uncomfortable, like some of its competitors do. This one literally goes under the mattress, but it still manages to work out how well you're sleeping. It's quite a remarkable thing.
How does it do that from under the mattress?
Well, it's got pressure sensors, so it can work out when you're moving and so forth. It can work out. It's got a microphone, and even though it's under the mattress, it can hear you breathing. It doesn't record you breathing. You don't get sort of the audio of it.
No,
but it's quite clever. And
although there is an app that does that, I downloaded it on my phone because I talk in my sleep, and I wanted to see what I was saying.
Yeah, but I don't want what I'm saying in my sleep to go up into the cloud, quite frankly.
Oh, we hadn't thought about that. Yeah,
well,
no, you're right.
There is that. But it's remarkable that it does work. And I've used one of these for a fair while. And what I've noticed in the time that I've been using it is that although the actual device has remained unchanged, the software has got better and better. So now, the core reason for having it is we barely a week goes by when someone doesn't tell us that, how important it is to get good sleep and how it prevents heart disease and prevents dementia and all of these sorts of lifestyle things. You know, sleep is arguably as important as exercise to our well-being. If you don't sleep, you get a build-up of something called amyloid B in the brain that causes plaques that can lead to dementia, and equally your heart is not good if you're not sleeping well. So what it does is it monitors your sleep. It works out when you're asleep, when you're awake, in other words, how long you've slept. But not just that, what the quality of that sleep is like, how much of that sleep was light sleep, how much of it was deep sleep, and how much it was what's called REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement when you're dreaming. Now, those last two types of sleep are known as restorative sleep. That's when your body and your brain start to recover from the day. Light sleep doesn't do much for you. So it will tell you, you could be a person that sleeps light, 8 hours a day, but that's really not very good.
Right.
But it also now can work out your breathing patterns. And why that's important is a lot of people have an illness called sleep apnea. Now, it's normal to stop breathing occasionally during your sleep for short periods and very occasionally. But if it detects that you're stopping breathing quite frequently through your sleep, and that's often associated with snoring. Often people with sleep apnea also snore. That's a dangerous condition that you could go your entire life without knowing that you had it, because you can be asleep. What happens when a person with sleep apnea stops breathing is the body starts to bring them up in their consciousness level to just below consciousness, just to the point where the breathing can restart. So you wake up thinking you've had 8 hours good sleep. But in reality, you may have stopped breathing, eight times an hour throughout the night and not know it. And the reason why that's important is that people with sleep apnea can be of markedly increased risk of heart attack and stroke. But there are things that can be done to treat it. There are treatments for sleep apnea, but only if you know you've got it.
Yeah.
So it can be literally a lifesaver, but also just in terms of the quality of sleep. And it not only draws graphs for you and shows you, your sleep patterns, but it gives you advice. There's this concept called sleep hygiene. In other words, your sleeping habits, and it can help you develop healthy sleep habits, just like an app may help you, become fitter. This app attached to the sleep mat can actually give you advice on what you need to do to improve matters. And I have to say, I wouldn't say my sleep is the best in the world. Too many gadgets in the bed, quite frankly, but it has helped a great deal, and it alerted me to some of the poor sleep habits that I used to have. So it's a good thing. List price on it is a shade under £100. I noticed today on a well-known website it's selling for £78.51, and I've literally given it 4.5 stars out of 5. And it's got one more trick up its sleeve, which isn't really a health thing. It's a laziness thing. It combines with something called If This Then That, which is a sort of way of triggering other things to happen. So if this is true, then do that. So for example, when it detects I get into bed, it can dim, it can cause the lights to dim or the thermostat
really?
To come on. And when I get out of bed, it can do the opposite. Yeah, you have to have obviously, you know, sort of the right thermostat and the right lighting.
Like
but instead of saying, you know, Amazon Echo, do this and do that, it will just detect.
Does it feel automatically?
Yeah, you know, not just when you get into bed, but maybe when you fall asleep or something like that. So it's kind of sophisticated, and I like where it's going, and it's completely unobtrusive. You do a setup which takes about 10 minutes when you put it under your mattress, and then you can just forget about it. And in the morning, it synchronizes automatically with your app, and it gives you a sleep score. So just a number that says, you know, what your percentage sleep quality was that night, and then it'll break it down for you in detail if you want it. But I find it fascinating and helpful.
What happens, though, if you're sharing a bed with somebody else?
So what you can do is you can just put it across underneath your half of the bed, if that's what
so
you
it's
want.
Just on your side.
Yeah, and If you you could put another one on the other side for your partner, and that would work. But it doesn't cease to amaze me how well it works at all, and particularly because it's under a mattress. I mean, my mattress is about 14 inches thick.
Yeah.
And still it works. You know, it's quite remarkable, really. But I love it. And the other benefit is, not only does it do a better job at monitoring my sleep than, say, my Apple Watch or most other smartwatches, but it means you don't have to wear a watch at night if you don't want to, because some people are having to wear watches just so they can monitor their sleep and their heart rate and all of this sort of thing. And it means that you can take off the watch and charge it overnight if you have a smartwatch, because, say, with an Apple Watch, it will go through a whole day, but then it really does want charging overnight.
Yeah, you've got to take it off at some point.
Yeah, well, exactly. So having something like this under the mattress means that, you know, you can go to bed without a watch on, if that's your desire, and still have really good quality sleep monitoring and heart rate monitoring.
Now, though, we're talking gadgets with our gadget detective. And if you have a question for Fevzi, you need to get in touch. So it might be your smartphone that's playing up. It might be your laptop, your computer. The technology in your life is not doing what it should be doing. Get in touch with Fevzi and hopefully he can put you right. The number you need is...
Call BBC Sussex
0800 232 1045.
Or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Now, though, I want to find out more about this technology story. I'm a little bit worried about it, Fevzi. Artificial intelligence coming for journalist jobs. Is that right?
I thought it might catch your attention,
yeah.
That one. So this is a story where Reuters has put together a technology that allows it to have... computer-generated live broadcast with a presenter on the screen, in this case presenting a sports show, you know, the scores and all of that. So what they do is they've combined two things. So Reuters has a lot of information, yeah, it has a lot of data feeds on every football match that goes on up and down the country every Saturday, you know, photos, you know, minute by minute score and all of that sort of thing. And of course, that information can be accessed online. But then they thought, well, wouldn't it be good if we could have a TV show presenting this information, but maybe have one potentially for every game? So instead of having, you know, a Saturday afternoon sports presenter on one of the main channels just dipping in and out of the main matches, you could log on online and see a broadcast, a live broadcast about the game in particular that you're interested in. And the way that they can do that is they aggregate all the data from their Reuters feed, and then they use this AI-based image of a newsreader actually speaking the scores and the words and the updates and referring to the photos and all the rest of it. And it's a real human being that's been filmed. Just like, you know, when they do a voice, they get the voice to say various of the building blocks of speech, you know, phonemes, you know, a bit like syllables, really. But you get a human being to speak all of those, and they film them doing it, so they get the mouth movements for each type of sound.
So it's like your own personalised sports report.
Yeah. So it's a bit like having a sort of Amazon Echo or something reading you the results, but actually you see it on screen with a human-looking presenter, and you know, the photos and the interaction. So it's a you know, audiovisual sports report, but they don't have to hire lots of human beings to do it. And that's kind of a bit scary if that's your neck of the woods.
Because if that's your job, yeah.
Yeah, TV presenters, weather broadcasters, newsreaders, that sort of thing. It's now very clear.
Radio presenters, are they safe?
Well, it depends. Music radio presenters, I think, are already, if you pardon the technical term, stuffed in that, you know, they already hire them in to do this is and that was recordings, you know, all the intros in between bits, and then they get the computer to serve up the link and then the track and then the link and then the track. I believe that we will get to a point where an AI-based presenter will be able to do talk radio.
I don't know though. I mean, would they be able to come up with such insightful stuff as me and my broccoli on the turn? Do you know what I mean?
They might have to model your brain to
they
do
might
that.
That's scary, isn't it? Wow, that's an idea.
You know, it's amazing how they do AIs. You know, there's different types of research for this. So some of it is they try to make AIs think like humans, and one of the research streams they do this is they slice up human brains, obviously after a person's deceased, and they slice very, very thin slices to work out exactly how all the connections in the brain works, and then they try and model that in what's called a neural network, which is a sort of facsimile of the brain inside a computer's memory. There are other AIs that have no reference to human beings at all, that will have a form of intelligence that's completely, literally alien to us. And then they were trying to work out which of them are most likely to allow us to live once they become our dark overlords. But there is a lot. But I guess the sort of the broader message behind this story is that a lot of jobs that will, you know, we hear a lot with Brexit and all the rest of it about, you know, people from other countries taking our jobs and all the rest of it. And at the same time, you know, hiding in plain sight is the fact that so many jobs are going to be wiped out, not by people from other countries, but by machines.
Technology.
Yeah. And it will not be the sort of jobs that, you know, we have traditionally thought of, you know, as, you know, being susceptible to that. Things like manufacturing robots in factories and things like that. It will be solicitors, doctors, judges, accountants, you know, things that require rules. So the law is an ideal thing for that. You know, the law is an ideal target for an AI to try and replace human beings. And in the beginning, there'll be tools that augment our ability. So we'll be able to give them the boring grunt work in law and research and all the rest of it. But in the not too distant future, they will be able to do the job unaided. We already have IBM's Watson AI program doing cancer diagnoses more accurately than human beings based on scans, and then coming up with a bespoke treatment plan for that particular person based on their genetics.
You've really got some robots carrying out operations.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's a robot called the Da Vinci robot, which does that, and it can be used it's sometimes used in sort of places where, you know, the surgeon can't get to. It could be, you know, a war zone, or it just could be a different country and you want the best surgeon, and the surgeon operates the robot remotely. But my prediction for this is that in the future, the only people that will agree to be operated on by a human being are people that can't afford to be operated on by a machine.
Do you think?
Yeah, the machine will be much better. I mean, machine's never going to have shaky hands. It's going to have
What about human interaction, Fivzy? What happened to that as an old-fashioned idea?
Well, a lot of surgery is done under anaesthetic, so there's not a lot of human interaction with the patient, certainly. I think that, you know, when we talk about these, a lot of people say, no, that'll never happen. They'll never be able to do what we can do. They haven't got the human element to them. But it reminds me of, you know, the original definition of artificial intelligence. They used to say, if you can teach a machine to play chess, then it's intelligent. So the machine learnt to play chess. Then they said, but if it can beat a human, then it's intelligent. So they're moving the goalposts. So then it beat a human. Then they said, well, if it can beat a grandmaster. And then it did. And then they said, well, chess is an easy game. What about Go? And then it won at Go as well, which is a much harder nut to crack. So I think that human beings tend to think that we are, uniquely capable in ways that in the future we may not be uniquely capable, that these machines will replicate what we do and surpass it as well.
You really are a little ray of sunshine, aren't you, on a Wednesday
afternoon?
Well,
I'm with the machines. So I'm just trying to get my sixpence in with the machine so that
yeah, get
I'm
on like, side now so yeah, you, exactly. they don't make you yeah, redundant.
Say good things about them now and you may live later, so, you know.
Fevzi, thank you as always. If people want to get in touch with you, human or robot, how can they do that?
Yes, and I won't be able to tell because it would be via Twitter, at Gadget Detective.
Fantastic. Fevzi, we'll chat again in a couple of weeks' time.